Epigenetics. The path of human evolution or devolution. How I use the energy that I download during the days of power. After I moved out of my parents' home into my own place, I met this guy who became my boyfriend. My very first boyfriend. He was a philosophy student, son of a well-known philosopher. I didn't understand a word they were speaking. When I typed up his thesis, I bastardized some of the words, because I had no idea they weren't typos. They didn't look like regular words. Here I am 53 years later. If you asked me what profession I have, I would say that I am closest to being a philosopher. Boggles the mind. Doesn't it? Lol. Yet, wrapping my brain around another person's concept of things, aka worldview, is still very tricky for me. It is a lot like wrapping a ball with flat sheets. You can unwrap it easier than you can wrap it. Unless you have some sticky surfaces, it won't even happen. Just like gift wrapping. You are either good at it or you aren't. Normally this is really hard for me. But on the days of power, a few days after I download the energy, I can do it better. It's almost as if I had grown an extra set of hands to hold the wrapper and the ball together. Most people start understanding, start incorporating anything new, or anything hard, at a little corner that looks they can get it. I have seen people, beginner architecture students even, start designing this way. They draw a square and say, "This is the entrance hall." What comes out of this method is nothing similar to what I would call wrapping your brain around it. Understanding is holographic. It is fuzzy in the beginning, but no parts are missing. And it gets sharper, clearer, more detailed with every new attempt at understanding. Designing the holographic way takes discipline and trust. Because you have to be flying blind, feeling blind, some of the time. Depending on your TLB score, you can tolerate that, or you can't. I have students who are not even willing to exercise the muscle of flying blind. And then I have students who are surprisingly good at it, and eventually succeed. I have a student who took his TLB 1 to TLB 30. The exercise with which he did that was the Amish horse training method converging into A as A. With your present view of the world, you should do more things, you should understand more things, and you try, and nothing changes, but more importantly, you don't change. Going from TLB 1 to TLB 30 is an epigenetic shift. You are now genetically different. To become more, to be able to do what you currently cannot do, cannot be accomplished with packing in more knowledge into your brain. It requires you to become a new person who can do it. An aside, I have found that the entitlement genes are what keep the TLB down. If you are entitled to a world, to a reality that is pleasant, smooth, and nice, then you'll not want to even tolerate, play with, interact with a reality that isn't pleasant, smooth, and nice. You don't think you should, so you never actually do it, or learn to do it well. So to affect the TLB score, you need to deal with the entitlement genes first. Your genes have to shift. And only persistent hammering away at some basic tasks will do it. This is my methodology. Here is how a client expresses it. Things have been so much more enjoyable without spending hours thinking about what I should be doing or what I didn't do. My tendency to see that something must be wrong kept wanting to creep in. There's still something that feels the right thing to do is stop enjoying and look at how I should be. But there's no way, I have seen what happens when I fixate on me and it's not good. I see now how this is tiny steps, day after day after day, with no end. And I finally see that it's everyday doing, in my daily actions and interactions. I was somehow thinking all this time that I had to wait until the big thing popped up, and then I would start doing. I think I get the trim tabbing now. Every action is an opportunity to adjust. Which brings to light how there will be failures, there can't help but be. I think I see the process now. As I'm getting more of the voices, that it's not working like you think, you can't continue, you never do, etc. The way I'm learning how to deal with them and dismiss them is something like, yes, I hear you, I get it, but FKU, I'm doing this instead. This is the technology, holographic combined with trim tabbing. This is what we'll use in the upcoming challenge. My goal is to turn off the entitlement genes and turn on the permission gene, so you can become all you can become. Sign up to the challenge. I've tried turning on capacities, but like anything you don't have to work for, you don't appreciate and therefore you don't practice. Those capacities turn off. I was heartbroken when I found this out. Epigenetic shift is when you become more equipped with intangible capacities, become more equipped with intellectual capacities, and it can even be physical. An example of a physical epigenetic shift is when my brain discovered that it was wobbling. One side had these big holes in it. And the brain shook itself like a dog shaking out the water, and it unified its two hemispheres. That was an epigenetic shift. If they cloned me, the clone would have a whole brain, physically whole brain. Epigenetic means physical changes in your DNA. Inheritable. Knowledge is not inheritable, but genes. Hell yeah. Now, I am not in childbearing age. And maybe you aren't either. I am starting to see that epigenetic changes can be attractive and cause a person to model after it. Wife, husband, maybe even a child can say, I want that. And if the person knows what happened, what caused the epigenetic shift, they can transfer the practice that leads to the change. And the second generation may even get it faster. Not enough data yet, but my hunch is that the second generation, wives, husbands, don't have to work on the capacity as hard as the first generation, because most of the inner work is already done for them. Why? How? The first generation, the person who learns directly from me, have to go through a lot of doubts, or a lot of trust issues. Either way, they don't know where they are going. But the second generation sees what the result looks like, and they don't have to deal with trust issues. That is why they can accomplish the same epigenetic shift faster. Imagine you are a fish that moved to dry land. You now walk. Go back and get your wife. And your wife sees that you can live outside of water. So she comes, and learns walking a lot faster than you have. My brain likes that it's dyslexic. It has more brain cells in certain areas than a normal brain, and my brain likes it. One could suspect that dyslexia is an epigenetic shift. Life experiments with human brains and dyslexia is one of these experiments. When you look at a neurotypical human, you want to weep. I saw an article yesterday on how trees are trying to adjust to the changing environment in this global warming. I was especially tuned into the fact that more and more insects can live and feed on the trees and destroy them. More and more insects live on and in humans too. The neurotypical human brain cannot wrap their minds around global warming. When people with normal brain all die off, the ones with the brains that have gone through epigenetic shifts will live. Because normal means inattentive, entitled, nearsighted, reward-focused, unthinking, robotic, unaware, unwilling to do any work. Really. Normal is the bunch of frogs that slowly get cooked. Because they can't or won't notice the rising temperatures. Until it's too late. Without epigenetic shift, without changing on the gene level, you are normal and honestly, quite stupid. Blind. Locked into your fixed vantage point. And remember, the number one capacity that separates the ones that live a winning life and a normal life is their ability to see. Without seeing, accurately, there is nothing. But you need to develop that seeing. And luckily you can. Through epigenetic shift. One of the duping memes we've been force-fed is you can do anything you put your mind to. I didn't know that meme until I came to the United States and was exposed to thousands upon thousands of success memes. So what does it take to be someone who can say about themselves, not just anyone can do that? Your vantage point is the key. Nothing changes until you change where you are looking from. 99% how much you think of yourself means that you can only look at everything through your own needs, through your own concerns. The only things you think are important. You dwell, you wrestle, you strategize. Ugh. No chance for love. No chance for caring. And, of course, no chance for compassion. Because everything is about you. Ugh. A coach's job is to move you around, gently or forcefully, so your vantage point can move. And point out that you can look. Look and see from different places. If you manage to connect the seeing differently with a different vantage point, you'll move there even by yourself. First tentatively, then intentionally. And eventually you can live from there. And watch as life unfolds differently. It is a gradual process, many moving parts. Depending on your main occupation, you'll need to get used to it. Many occupations deal with after-the-fact scenarios, and never teach you to deal with moving elements. Business, investing, relationships, your health. All need you to be able to see that when one aspect changes, you'll need to reshuffle, reorganize everything. That, reshuffling, reorganizing is a capacity, that developing it is an epigenetic shift. And a big one at that. Only a tiny number of people participate in it. It is not mainstream. Mainstream always consider that it is someone else's job. Anyway, this article is getting long. If you got anything out of it, anything useful sounding, would you share it with me? Please. And if you don't mind being a pioneer, sign up to my epigenetic challenge. This challenge is also epigenetic. Meaning, it is designed to cause epigenetic shift in you.